now to join us. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Yeah, I think if we're getting reinfected again, I was... Because, you know, we'd all gotten over this Martian death flu. And I came in this morning and Obi-Wan Kenobi Bruce, our program director, was in there. He's chopping up an Imus promo in the other room this morning. And I came in to ask him something or other, and I said, Bruce, how you doing? You know. So he's totally got the weird post-nasal drip thing going on. So after successfully dodging the cold, now he's sick, which means we're probably going to all get sick again in time for the holidays. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on today, Richard Nunn will be here, Jolie from the front desk with another edition of How Chicks Think. Also, today's top five. Let's pause for a moment, actually, to tell you a little bit about what's coming up, Christmas. So Christmas Day, there will be a brand new two-hour edition of the KOTK Noon News Hour. So the Noon News Hour will actually be going 2 hours on Christmas Day, be brand new. We're going to be doing a brand new news hour for you all who are going to be listening on Christmas Day. It'll be from noon to 2. And then at 2 p.m., it'll be a replay of Rick Emerson's Behind the Christmas, Santa Claus Behind the Christmas, which was a big hit. We played it last year. I think we played it on 4th of July this year, but this will be the third time in about a year and a half. It'll be only the third time that it's aired. And so if you heard about it last year, you heard about a little bit of it on the 4th of July, and you want to hear the entire thing, it'll be Christmas Day at 2 p.m., and so, again, on Christmas Day, there'll be a two-hour news hour that'll be brand new. Then Santa Claus Behind the Christmas at 2 p.m. Thursday the 26th, the day after Christmas, there'll be a brand new news hour live. And then again on Friday, there will be a live news hour featuring me from an undisclosed location in Kennewick. So that's all. So that's what's coming up later on this week. So Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, there will be brand new material. While everybody else is just slack and rolling the best ofs, every show will have at least a big chunk of brand new material in it. Oh, also, let's see. While we're getting to also, can I just tell you how much stuff there is to get to? And we've only got, we've got today and tomorrow, you know, before Christmas. And so I got a pile like 3 feet high of stuff to get to. It's just unbelievable. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by, what the hell is his name? Doesn't say. But tomorrow we're going to be joined by this kid from the Tiger Cubs who has to do this. He's getting, I swear to God, this is real. He's getting some sort of a merit badge in communications by coming and hanging out with us. He's like 9. So we'll be joined by a lovable young scamp tomorrow of about 8 or 9 years of age who will be observing us as we roll out another edition of the Rick Emerson Show. So that'll be fun. What else? I don't know. It's just all this stuff to get through. So without further ado, we are going to roll it. Coming up later this hour with the top five. Also, Jolie, this is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Radio Shack. Waiting to the last minute this holiday? No problem. Radio Shack's having a procrastination sale, where you'll find gifts for everyone at super low prices. So come on in and save real big at Radio Shack. Top story, the hunt from a man whose pregnant wife, pregnant wife and 3 young children were found dead in the snowy coastal range expanded today to include Coast Guard helicopters, FBI agents, and a wider area of remote forest. The bodies of 33-year-old Renee Morris, 10-year-old Bryant, 8-year-old Alexis, and 4-year-old Jonathan found Saturday at Tillamook State Park. So here's what we're looking for, a person of interest. 37-year-old Edward Morris, who's called a person of interest, described as 6 feet tall, 200 pounds, clean-shaven, brown hair. He left Portland driving a gray 1993 Dodge Caravan with a license plate WSH-171. Also bumper stickers on the back that say Luis Palau and Jesus. Family members filed a missing person report Saturday when they didn't return from a trip. The case is being investigated as a homicide, although officials had not ruled out the possibility that Edward Morris is also a victim, so this guy could have committed suicide. Neighbors say the family was very religious, belonging to the brand-new St. John's Wesleyan Church, where Renee Morris was to direct a Christmas play Saturday night. They said Renee was 7 months pregnant and homeschooled the children. So that's that for now.
Yeah, has anybody ever known homeschooled kids that weren't freaky? You know what I mean? Have you ever known homeschooled kids that weren't bizarre or strange in some way?
A few.
Really? Every kid I ever knew that was homeschooled just had this weird, creepy, I like to play with knives when nobody's around vibe. I don't know why. I don't know. I guess it's just lack of social interaction. I've never really understood the whole notion of homeschooling. I've never really... it's not like American schools are first rate or anything. American schools certainly have their problems. But on the other hand, I've never known... Just, it seems like your average run-of-the-mill adult is no smarter than the kid that they're ostensibly teaching. So you got an adult who's a product of those same public schools most of the time, passing along their own specious knowledge onto their kids. It's just, it's all very bizarre. And it tends to just breed all this weird social, discomfit with the kids, too. It's like every so often you'll meet one of those families where they don't have a television. Do you ever know anybody like that? Where the mom and dad didn't have a TV, and so the kids go 16 years without ever seeing an episode of the Brady Bunch. And, it sounds weird, but that totally stilts you in a social sense. And this you saw this all the time in Utah, where there were these households where they didn't have a television. Kids grew up, spent 18 years of their life, never seeing a TV anywhere. And the kids were always just freaks when they tried to interact with anybody else.
How about the Amish? They don't even know how to plug in an extension cord.
Now, the Amish are kind of cool, though. I don't know if I'm alone in this, but every so often, when life reaches some sort of a maximum saturation point, when it comes to stress, I'll sort of entertain these weird Harrison Ford fantasies of going off and joining an Amish community. Lars heard me talk about this off and on for like 5 years. I'm going to go become Amish. It just appeals to me in some weird, bizarre way. I don't know why. It just does.
Well, many Oregonians are hunting out Christmas sales this season as the state remains burdened with one of the nation's weakest economies. Some Portland residents say they're surprised at the lack of lines in stores. It would seem Christmas shoppers have dropped a lump of coal into the stockings of retailers.
Yes.
Holiday sales are off nationwide due to a stagnant economy, higher unemployment, worries about terrorism, and the threat of war against Iraq. One retail analysis says sales on the final weekend before Christmas were solid, but stores needed a spectacular showing. Lots of people at the dollar store over the weekend.
Great.
I bought a box of dollar Christmas. Well, they're going to get them the day after Christmas, but they are going out.
These cards?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't even send Christmas cards.
Only $1 for a big box full.
Can I tell you this? I have never sent a Christmas card in my life. I am nearly 30 years of age. I have never once given anybody a Christmas card. I suppose a couple times I've gone to the store and purchased individual cards and handed them out. You give one to the boss to butter him up or something.
I gave you a Christmas card.
I got one from... Thank you, sir. I got
You're
one,
welcome.
Too.
Yeah.
And it said Mr. Riley on the end.
Yeah. Mine's sitting there unopened. Because here's... Can I just tell you, by the way? Here's why I haven't opened your card. Here's why opening Sarah's Christmas card is at the bottom of my things to do list.
Oh,
right,
that's mean.
Right behind, floss. It's right there. Because this was yesterday, I think. Was it yesterday or Saturday?
Saturday.
I'm sitting at my desk Saturday, clackety-clack at the keyboard, getting some stuff done. Sarah walks by, sort of tosses a Christmas card, rather cavalierly onto my desk, and then the card hasn't even hit the formica on my desk. And what does she say? She goes, "Don't feel special. I bought in bulk." That was it. That was not Merry Christmas. Not, hey, it's good. Thank you for hiring me. Thank you for giving me a job. I'm glad that I'm able to work with such fine folks on such a popular radio show. No, don't feel special. I bought them in bulk.
Well, it's showing a weakness. You're obviously not giving me a Christmas card.
Yeah, because
I'm taking the time out of my day to wish you a Merry Christmas.
You're taking the 4 seconds because I'm really inclined to give you a card now that I know it means so little to you.
I thought you said you didn't give anybody cards.
No, but, I might have given you one this year.
I have a few extras for my box of dollar cards if you'd like them.
Let's make it like a fruitcake. I'll just get somebody else's card and I'll scratch out my name, Rick. Sarah, and just give that to you. So, because you obviously put so much time and effort into it. So here it sits unopened. Well, really, let's open it and see what it says.
Okay. Crap, I can't remember what I wrote in it.
Yeah. Or you just stamped it. Sarah. Sarah. All right. On the front it says, Rick. Let's see. Okay.
Hey, at least you took time to write your name on it.
That's the same card as I got.
You got everybody the same card.
No, I actually have two different kinds of cards.
Tim, did you get this great card with the snowman?
It's across the counter. I think it's right there.
Yeah, I'm a little more special than you.
Oh, I got it right here.
I got the red
card. He has the other version. He has the red card.
Red card with the Christmas tree.
Oh, I see. All right, so Matt gets a different one. Tim and I, we just get the bulk one, though. Hope your holidays are happy days.
Aww. I did not write that.
Rick, I'm excited to be working on your show. I hope to make you proud, it says with a smiley face. Have a great Christmas. It's not even punctuated correctly.
Mine says that almost like word for word.
You are kidding me. Did you write the same thing?
I wrote about 40
card?
Christmas cards. She I started to get a
I'm
little.
Just kidding.
Okay.
All right.
What did I write on yours, Matt?
That you hope I have a spectacular Christmas.
Spectacular.
Spectacular. That's really going above and beyond there.
Jesus.
Hope we have a great time working together.
Oh, that's.
You guys are asses. This is not funny.
Have a great summer. See
At
you
least
next
I thought
year.
About you. Jeez.
Friends forever. I.
Sorry, touch.
Sorry, I didn't get to know ya.
What's the last time I'm buying you guys anything?
You seemed
I haven't
like
complained
a,
about my card.
Thank you, Tim.
You seemed like a great person. Boy, geometry was hard. See you next fall. Now I feel like a big jerk.
I'm not talking to you.
What?
That's
just
so rude.
What's rude? I'm just saying.
I'm not even going to make an effort. Never
giving
mind.
Me, giving
not
me the
to mention
card.
The fact that I give you a Christmas card, but let alone you have to read it out on the radio and
you,
make fun of it.
You prefaced it by telling me not to feel special because you bought them in bulk. That was your
well, obviously
greeting
you should
to
feel
me.
Kind of special if I took the time out to make a list and you were on that list.
Yeah, you're just trying to suck up.
She checked that list twice, too.
Just
like Santa.
All right.
I like my Christmas card.
Yes, I know.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, see, now I feel all jerky.
You should.
I'm just saying.
I think I'm more special than either of you, though, because I got the unique card.
Tim is the most special of all.
Well, this merits a spot on my refrigerator with my own special refrigerator.
Now you're just trying to kiss ass. All right. Now, see, now I feel now I'm going to be one of those dicks at Safeway that box of cards, please. I tried this. I remember a couple years ago I tried to send e-Christmas cards, and I got this big lecture that was not allowed. That you're not allowed to send them over the internet somehow. It's like gauche or whatever. I didn't even send that card to my. I didn't send a card to my graduation. I didn't send that anything. I've never sent a card in my life because I think sending cards is almost completely a chick thing. I don't think it's a guy thing at all. I think the only time guys send cards is if there's a woman just sort of, you know,
You've
and make them do it.
Completely dismayed me. This is the first Christmas I've ever bought Christmas cards.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to dismay you.
That's
I'm
all
just...
right. No, I've learned I'm never going to do it again.
I've learned.
Oh, can I have one next year?
She'll give you two. She'll give you mine.
I'll give you both versions.
Well,
both
I'm... if you want me to take the card seriously, you should not treat it dismissively when you give it to me, then.
Well, at least I gave you a Christmas card. That's
me
the bottom point.
Your comment when you gave me the card led me to believe that you didn't really care about the card.
Well, Rick, we're not best buddies or anything. I was doing this as an effort to try and... You know, form kind of a friendship with you. I didn't want you to think I was, you know, trying to kiss ass.
Actually,
I
didn't want you to think you were actually close to me. All right. Here's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
Sounds like you would have preferred that bag of oranges. Anyway, breaking news. The Bush family Christmas will include enchiladas. This is from Washington. President Bush says gifts should never, ever be opened before Christmas morning. A fondly recalled practice from his First Lady Laura Bush's childhood dictates tamales and enchiladas for the Christmas Eve menu. Like many Americans, the president's family has developed its own set of traditions, comforting their family and binding in their repetition that govern how Christmas is celebrated. When Jenna, off at the University of Texas, Barbara at Yale, and their parents at the White House, the family's holiday custom of gathering to hang trinkets and tinsel on the Christmas tree now falls to others.
Who has enchiladas for Christmas? This is like how every family has traditional Christmas foods, and then they all have that one dish, though, that's really bizarre or strange. Speaking of which, can I just tell you that everybody... Here's one of the reasons we're all so edgy, by the way. I figured this out. Because we're all... I think it's a fair assessment. I think it's safe to say that everybody, not just on this show, but I think everybody in this building is walking around on edge the last few days. And it's because we're all on this perpetual sugar high. You know what I mean? We are all walking around just cranked out of our brain on sugar and fat for the last...
It's my mom's fault for sending all those cookies.
It's not just your mom's fault. It's like everybody. You walk into the kitchen. God, I came in this morning, and I thought over the weekend we had gotten rid of all the Christmas sort of pastries and sundries. I came in this morning, and some client, I forget who it is, it's like Budget Furniture or somebody. It's Sleep Country USA. You know, the why buy a mattress anyway? They sent like... Sure, like 40 pounds of like Christmas fudge and cookies, and it's like you don't want it, but you find yourself eating it anyway for reasons you can't really quantify or explain. And so now we're walking around just on caffeine and sugar. So, ugh.
All right. More on the Bush's Christmas. The Christmas dinner is still undecided, but Mrs. Bush leans toward a beef tenderloin. She has considered, then discarded, a recipe for red velvet cake she recently spied in a magazine. The gifts will appear Christmas morning. They're being kept secret by the First Lady staff, but one thing is certain. For presidential order, they will remain wrapped until the family gathers in their pajamas around the tree on Christmas morning. Stocking gifts, usually the purview of Bush, will likely be waited outside the girls' bedroom doors. Oh, so they're going to be there.
Now, see, I don't understand. There's two schools of thought on this.
Yeah.
There's the opening your presents ahead of time, and then there's your opening your presents on Christmas. Or if you're Matt going and finding them all and spying and digging them up and deciding what they were.
I've done that since I was a little kid.
No, but you don't have to do it now. Because you don't live at home. You don't have the opportunity. But Laura's
well,
the same
man,
way.
Well, I haven't done that for the last several years that I lived at home.
Good for you. Because that's wrong. And we all know people who did that, too, where it's like you would just spend days ransacking the house, either quietly when your parents were home, or when they weren't home, you're like going through every closet looking for all the Christmas presents and trying to find out what they are, which is completely improper. That's not the way you're supposed to do it.
It's totally what you're supposed to do.
No, and Laura's the same way. And so, like, I bought her some stuff, and so I'm finding, you know, it's like you have to buy a vault the size of a refrigerator, one of those, you know, bank, you know, vaults to hide everything in. Because I know that otherwise, while I'm gone, she's going to be under the sofa, she's going to be behind the bookcase looking for everything. I alone, among my peers, had all the self-control to wait until Christmas Day because I value the surprise. So I'm all about the surprise.
Now, see, if you don't wrap it, like when you buy it, if it's not wrapped that day, you're begging for it to be found if you're waiting to wrap it.
See,
there's
a
reason that you've waited to wrap it. That reason is obviously that you want me to know what it is ahead of time.
Now, and see, and my friend Brian he was totally this Lassiter, you know, where he would be able to find the Christmas present, unwrap it, and then rewrap it, and nobody would be able to ever tell the difference. And so, like, he was already planning on what to return, what to take back to the store. Before Christmas morning even got there, he already knew everything he was going to get, so.
Well, the Bush daughters will be awoken Christmas morning and served hot chocolate to wake them out of their alcoholic stupor. By that time, the President and the First Lady will have already eaten their cereal. And that's Christmas at the Bush House.
All right, we got this subject line, homeschool. Rick, I was homeschooled and I had no TV and now I'm gay. So yes, Rick, you are right. Signed, your young gay follower. Well, swell. Well, now I feel all bad about making fun of your Christmas card.
Sure. Right. It's like you're having a bad day and you're taking it out on me.
I'm not. Well, I am having a bad day. I'm not taking it out. I'm not taking it on you. But you, here is one of the defining characteristics of Sarah Dillon, is that whenever you do something nice or considerate, you preemptively, like, deflate it by making some comment like, don't feel special, I got these cards in bulk. Which is akin to saying, I found it in the street and wrote your name in it. Here
because
you go.
Because even, like, I wrote something nice inside the card and all you do is make fun of it.
I didn't make fun of it.
Yes, you did. The
That's
way you
not
read
true.
It.
That's true.
Smiley face.
That's
yeah.
A, well, it does have a smiley face.
Oh, I'm
face.
Sorry. I felt so good after you read it.
I'm just...
Made me feel like, you know...
I was just... No, I appreciate the card, and now I feel all jerky for not having given you one. All right. So, yeah, okay. So, is that the end of the Bush?
That's the end of the Bush story,
all
yes.
All right, okay. So...
I'm trying to get back this classmates online thing that keeps popping up on my screen.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, then, yeah. we'll move on. Is the news brought to us by anybody?
Oh, this past newscast?
Yeah, the one we were just doing.
Yes, it was. It was brought to you by Radio Shack. We mentioned that at the top of the news.
Great. Could today's show possibly be any more off-kilter? Like,
well,
it
really could, because as we discussed over the top of the hour,
yes.
this hour was brought to you by Michael Hacker
right
Photography.
Here in my hand, you bastard. I'm about to read it. This hour of the Rick Emerson Show, including but not limited to the past 21 minutes, brought to you by the good folks at Michael Hacker Photography. Wedding photography with style and elegance done your way. For more info on Michael Hacker Photography, check out michaelhacker.com. That's Michael Hacker, michaelhacker.com. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. All right, we got much coming up. We've got another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie at the front desk. We've got the top five coming up, and we have another web pad that's going to be going out the door from the good folks at Budget Computers. And before we do that, I want to note at this juncture, there is still time to bid on the laptop from Budget Computers that we are giving away. We're auctioning off to benefit your local firefighters, Toy and Joy Drive. Current bid is $700. Bidding closes at the end of show today. You can get your bids in to Sarah at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. You can see the specs on the laptop at rickemerson.com. And again, you can get your bid in at 503-250-1080. 1080. So that is being auctioned off. Auction closes at 3 p.m. today. They also gave us a whole stack of web pads to give away and some sound morphers and whatnot. So here's what we are going to do. I will take the first person at 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955 who can sing. You must not merely recite. You must sing. You must sing the actual lyrics from the Toys R Us television jingle. The first person who can sing the lyrics from the Toys R Us television commercial jingle will score themselves a brand new web pad from Budget Computers at budgetcomputer.com. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk, Connecticut. Okay, back after this. Say that.
Talk 1080 KOTK. Your communications.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
127, I am Tim Riley. From Charleston, West Virginia comes word. Onlookers at a Westside Funeral Home's nativity scene featuring live animals have a new attraction to ooh and ah about. Apparently, firefighters have delivered a baby sheep in the nativity scene. The department was notified by 911 that a sheep at the holiday scene at the funeral home was in labor. People began to gather, but the fire department had no experience birthing animals. Unable to locate a vet, they had to do it, and the sheep will be fine. The same nativity scene was in the news last week when an East Bank man was arrested after police allegedly found him having sex with one of the sheep. The man was charged with trespassing, cruelty to animals, and destruction of property. It'll be partly cloudy this afternoon, even though it's sunny out right now. It's not going to last. High's about 45, partly cloudy tonight. And tomorrow, let's see, increasing clouds, Christmas Day, rain at times and breezy. High's about 45. I'm Tim Riley of the KOTK Newsroom.
The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Merry Christmas, baby. Shoot it, creep and die.
Troubled soul. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Otis Redding there. Coming up later on today, by the way, we're going to play Christmas Time in Portland, which is the Christmas single from the Tim Riley Factor. All right. Now that I feel like a big jerk, now that I feel like a big meanie, I think I've just had too much caffeine or something today. Caffeine, and really, not to give him more power than he really deserves, but caffeine followed by Mike from Oregon City. I don't know what it is. That guy at the beginning of the show who was like just railing on Patty Murray. It just put me in a foul mood, just made my mood all askew and askance. This big meanie took it out of poor Sarah. Because I got like 600 emails in the past 10 minutes. Dude, you are being a dick. Knock it off. Stop it now. So, anyway. And, you know, it's my fault, by the way, for not pre-reading your card.
I know. Did you think I just signed it?
Well, because I seriously did. It's, you know what it is? It's like that episode of Ren and Stimpy. You know, where Stimpy gets all the fan mail, and there's none for Ren. Ren never gets any fan mail. There's never any letters for Ren at all. And so the next day, the only letter that comes is for Ren. And so Ren is lording it over him. It is I who am most loved. I am king. It's me they love now. You they have forgotten. And so Ren opens it and starts reading the fan mail, and he's like, dear Ren, you are the funniest person on television. And he reads this great glowing email, and it's, I am your biggest fan, signed Stimpy. And it turns out that the letter is from Stimpy, and so Ren just feels like a colossal a-hole.
Can I please be Stimpy?
That's totally me. Well, because I had not read the card in advance, and so I'm opening it on the air thinking that the actual contents of the card are going to be sort of as throwaway as your comment was when you gave it to me. When you handed it to me, you said, don't feel special, I bought them in bulk. And then it's all nice, and it's got a big smiley face on it.
I know, because that's how you operate. I know that I couldn't write something nice.
What do you mean that's how I operate?
Sweet. I don't know. I felt like it had to have a disclaimer since it was so nice.
Because I can't possibly accept anything nice or sweet for its own value. Is that what you said?
I don't know.
I'm a harmless, cuddly little fuzzball.
Sometimes.
What do you...
You're a harmless, cuddly little fuzzball, much like your hedgehog is.
That's not true.
Looks fuzzy from a distance, but when you get right up on it, they're sharp, pointy little pricks.
I don't have any... My sharp and pointy, prickish nature notwithstanding. This is like when Sarah, the first day she was working on the show, before Christina had even left, the first day Sarah was on here, she called me manic. And then she called me manic and something else. You called me manic and bipolar.
And the talent.
Yeah. And the talent. You accused me of referring to myself as the talent, which, of course, didn't happen. So, I can already see that this is going to be a fun relationship as the weeks and months roll on. I can already see.
It's doomed.
I can already see that this is going to end up in a bad place.
Bipolar before, you will be by the time it's over.
It's going to end up in some sort of murder-suicide. I can just see it coming. All right, to the phones we go. It's time to give away another web pad from Budget Computers. Dear Ann, you are my favorite TV personality. I am king.
That's so sweet. I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's called Stimpy's Fan Club. It's my favorite episode of Ren and Stimpy. It's the only thing that's better than Stimpy's Fan Club maybe is Sven Hook, which is a great episode as well. Ren and Stimpy coming back to TNT in the 2003, baby. Yeah. John Crisfalusi coming back for new episodes of Ren and Stimpy. Coming like less than 6 months from now. We'll be counting down to it. Let's go to Martin. Martin, all right, it's time to score yourself a web pad from the folks at Budget Computers. To do it, you must sing to me the television jingle for Toys R Us. Now, I'm going to give you a little tiny bit of leeway on the verbiage. You drop a the or a word here and again. It's more about getting the melody and about 90% of the words right. Roll it for me.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You're bluffing on the melody.
Oh, sorry. There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I could play with, from bikes to trains to video games. It's the biggest toy store there is. I don't want to grow up, because if I did, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
All right. There you go. There's Martin, who scores himself a web pad from Budget Computer. Now, there are a couple variations on that theme, by the way, which is why I agreed to let the dialogue slide. There's a couple different versions, because there's the, from bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is. Gee whiz. See, there were some versions of the TV commercial where there was a gee whiz that punctuated that fourth line. And, of course, I don't want to grow up because baby, if I did. Later versions had baby, if I did. It's sort of like the facts of life, where later on that fourth verse got changed to the boys you used to hate, you date. I'm just saying. Here's your top five for Monday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom with Monday's Top 5.
And these are the top 5 songs of the country as of today, December 23rd, 2002. Number 5, Air Force One's Nelly featuring Kai Wan, Ellie, and Murphy Lee.
Don't get me wrong, man. I'm Murphy. Philly ain't dumb, man. The good they swim on that shelf, you should have some, man. You cannot sit up and tell me that you have none, man.
Oh, this is almost immediately uninteresting. Is this a Nelly song?
Nelly, Taiwan, Ellie, and Murphy Brown,
yeah,
or whatever.
But you can never tell whose album it's going to be on. Or
it's not on Nelly's album, it's on Nelly, the same lunatics.
Boy, just listen to that. Boy, that's just 12 beats a minute. The only reason to listen to this song, by the way, is if you're driving in a car and you've got the, what we used to call one of those boom cars, you know what I mean, where you got the system, you want to, like, rattle windows four counties away. That's the only possible reason to listen to this song. What? This is number 5 in the country?
Yeah.
Those kids, they'll listen to anything. Real dirty, you know how I do. Bubbling gold with the Lakers, the Broncos, the orange and blue. I like a floppy with ankle socks. Yeah, I can't possibly fathom sitting around listening to this. There's no way. There's no hook to this song. This is a song.
Yeah, there is.
Really? Have I missed it? Did I blink and miss the hook?
You blink and miss the hook. Hold on, it's coming back up.
I treat my shoes like my ride. Chrome on the fat laces. Is it sometime today?
Oh, they're long verses.
Yeah, you know, this is the deleterious effect of marijuana on hip-hop, by the way, that everything is slow and boring. It's like some hip-hop version of Fish, you know what I mean? Where there's a chorus buried in there somewhere. The song's like 9 minutes long. It goes on and on.
We may not make it back to the hook before the end of this.
I can no longer tolerate waiting through this.
Number 4 is 03 Bonnie and Clyde. Jay-Z featuring Beyonce Knowles.
He got Beyonce, man. Yeah. You gotta give it to him.
Seriously, for Christmas, I'm just gonna give you a dictionary, man. That's what you're getting.
Oh, this is very melodic.
Yeah, this isn't a bad song. There's a video for this, isn't there?
It's actually a really cool video. They're kind of like doing the whole chase thing down through Mexico.
I think I saw this on Hits from a Street the other night. It's always funny to watch what your TiVo tapes when you're not around to determine what your TiVo thinks you're into. And my TiVo, and I don't know if it's because of Trent Lott or whatever, my TiVo started taping all the stuff on BET. And so I'll go home, and normally it was just like Homicide and South Park, but now my TiVo fills up with like 17 hours of black entertainment television. For reasons that I can't really explain, I don't really know where that's coming from. The one that you humping. There's that smooth verbiage that always gets the ladies.
But all he needs in his life of sin is just him and his girlfriend.
I saw some Jay-Z video the other day. I don't know what it is, but it had the hottest looking woman I think I've ever seen on the television. I don't even know the name of the song. It escapes me. They're having some big house party at his mansion. That's all I know. They're in like some 3-story mansion, and it's just him in a house. So it could be one of about 50,000 different videos. But it's just him and his boys at his crib, and they're throwing down, or whatever it is they say. And there's some woman walking around in a string bikini the entire video, and it's just the most unbelievably attractive woman I've seen in a long time. This is the song I saw the other day. It's a great song.
Number 3 is Jenny from the Block, Jennifer Lopez featuring Judakis and Styles. What you see,
I suppose she even had to be present for the recording of this song.
You know, there's a version of this video on MTV where it's almost like a pop-up video thing from VH1, but it's flashing all the prices of everything in the video.
Yeah.
So like the earring she's wearing or the shirt or the ring, or instead of just a standard list, it's actually kind of funny.
Can someone tell me what it means to keep it real? I don't understand what that means.
I'm not hip with the lingo.
Matt, what does it mean when you're keeping it real, yo?
It just means you're not being fake. You're not fronting. to being yourself. No matter what you've got, no matter how much money, you're still just being yourself.
You don't
ever become the talent. You're always just Rick. You're just one of the boys.
I see. Yeah. So she fails that test, pretty much, it would seem to me.
Oh, no. She's still Jenny from the block.
Yeah.
She's just same girl she was growing up.
A lot of girls from the block marrying Ben Affleck, or at least trying to marry Ben Affleck, and then being thwarted by Matt Damon. Go, Matt! Big ups to Matt Damon, by the way. You know, I don't know what the deal is with this song, though. Am I the only one that watches Jennifer Lopez videos and you just have the overwhelming urge just to give her a good smack?
Oh, she's just so awful. She's a horrible, horrible person.
She really is, and you can sense it, too. See, that's what I'm saying. The camera doesn't lie. You can sense correctly, and we all know it's true, that she is an awful person.
Her mother's rotting body would be found months after her death. Oh, next one is number two, called Work It from Missy, Miss Demeanor Elliott.
The song freaks me out. All of her videos kind of unnerve me.
I think she's cool.
She's cool. She's got talent and everything, and she's written a lot of hits. So, I mean, she obviously knows what she's doing. I don't know whether she's keeping it real or not, but her videos are all sort of freaky looking.
I've never been a fan. Nothing that she's done has ever really appealed to me.
No, and her videos have all got that weird Busta Rhymes look where they've all got that weird fisheye lens thing going on where, like, her head's all big and her body's all small.
Well, have you seen this video? She's lost, like, 60 pounds, I think.
Really?
Yeah, she looks really good.
Yeah, these videos always look like some weird Salvador Dali thing. No, that's just not right.
Yeah, she's saying something backwards. I don't know. My friend knew what it was.
I have not remember.
Number one is Lose Yourself by Eminem. Back to the lab again, yo. It's old Rhapsody. Better go catch it in the moment and hope it don't do it. Lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
Maybe it marks me as being hopelessly, relentlessly mainstream, but this is so much better than everything else we just played.
You're just talking about that.
Seriously. And
you can't stop just like nodding your head to this when it comes on.
And I like to think that I'm one of those guys who isn't just pablum fed stuff by MTV, but this is so much better than the other four songs. There's no comparison. It only grows harder. Homie grows hotter. I mean, I think that's why you hear so much of that "when I was a boy, music was better." Because I think there's two things. I think you've got to avoid the temptation to be too much the other way, though. You've got to avoid the temptation to just dismiss everything that's popular or everything from the past because it's popular or because it's from the past. I mean, Eminem, pound for pound, there's just nobody better than Eminem in hip-hop right now. There isn't. There's just no one. I mean, the only person lyrically that's even close to him is Nas. I mean, that's it. And even he kind of fell off after Illmatic. I mean, he never came back from that.
Godson's pretty good.
I mean, that's just so great. That's got a huge hook. Listen to that.
And to some extent, Nelly is almost there. But Nelly's got his real ups and downs,
where
he'll put out just one, you know, great pop anthem kind of a song, and then his next one is like Air Force Ones, and it's just, what the hell are you doing?
It's just a great, great song. All right, there's your top five. It's time for another edition of How Chicks Think, featuring Jolie from the front desk. In the front desk, how are you?
I'm okay. How you doing?
I'm okay. Except apparently I'm being a big jerk today. I'm being a cretin.
What's rude, man? Because I was going to say on Monday.
Yeah.
Or no, today's Monday. On Friday.
Yes.
When you asked me how I was.
Yes.
And I started to try to answer you. You're just all talking over me and you don't even care.
That's not true. When? Here when you were on the show on Friday?
Yeah, Friday. Uh-huh.
That's not true.
Because I said good, good, and then I was starting to tell you about how you took me away from the big party we were having out there, you know, to come in here, but you weren't listening, so you just started talking and I couldn't tell you.
I'm sorry, what? Shut up.
Okay, I have to.
All right. Today's question comes to us from Toby, who listens in Portland. Dear How Chicks Think, will someone please tell my girlfriend that since she is the one who cares whether the house is clean or not, I should not have to clean it. I am always getting roped into cleaning the kitchen, the bathroom, picking up the dirty clothes off the floor. For the record, I don't care whether the bathroom is clean, I don't care whether the toilet or bathtub is scrubbed, and I don't care...
Of course you don't.
I don't care whether my dirty socks are picked up. So please tell her that she has to clean it. She who cares about the state of the apartment maintains the state of the apartment. Am I right on this or what? That's Toby in Portland.
Toby. Boy, Toby, this really gets me right here.
Your expression says, eat me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Toby. I have this dilemma at my house as well.
Oh, so do I. No, I go over this. We go around about this like once a month.
Yeah, well, you know, because women don't make the mess themselves, that's for sure. And we pick up after ourselves.
That's not true. That is entirely untrue.
Well, we make messes, but we pick them up. The guys wait like 2 weeks and they're, oh, yeah, let me pick this dirty sock up. I need a clean sock.
That's not true. Women's restrooms are always revolting.
They are not, and we talked about this before.
All right.
No, because,
Go ahead.
Basically, okay, what I'm saying to you, Toby, is if you don't care about the mess... You've got to do some. You got to be willing to do some other things, like you know, cook or make lunches, do laundry, if you don't want to clean.
Well, I guess.
But
go ahead.
Houses have to have some standard of cleanliness, no matter what.
Yeah, but it's all. But see, here's the thing: when you say houses have to have a standard of cleanliness, it's never the guy's standard. It's always yours.
Well, God, you're slobs. I mean, who can live in a place like that?
I mean, this isn't all male-female, though. I mean, Justin's the complete neat freak, and I just leave food in my room for, like, weeks. And,
Justin, can I tell you that Sarah's boyfriend, Justin, he just puts off an angelic glow. Seriously, he's what the British say is you come up well, meaning when you scrub up well. When you see Justin looks like he ought to be in some sort of a Breck commercial or a Stridex commercial or something. Seriously, he is like... He's this Aryan Superman guy. He's just got the blonde hair and this perfect skin. It's like, he's one of those guys that other guys look at and we're like, dick. You know, because it's like because chicks obviously just dig him because he's a pretty boy. I mean, I could never possibly achieve that. But my point is that when it comes to cleaning the house, you say there's got to be a standard. But why does it have to be your standard? Why can't it be Toby's standard?
Because things just shouldn't be like that.
Well, for you.
Maybe
no,
it's
for
not
everybody.
Toby's. Maybe it's not Toby's fault for being too lax. Maybe it's your fault for being too anal.
That's exactly what it is.
No, you just put things where they go. You don't leave them all over the floor. You know, you clean up your stuff. My husband and I argue about this all the time.
If you want the house clean, you know, the person who is most concerned with the house being clean should be the one who cleans it.
Well, no, it ruins the relationship because then there's all this resentment that builds up inside of me.
What are you resenting?
Why are you resenting it?
You want it clean.
You want to do it. You want the house clean. Why would you resent
it? He doesn't care. Let it go. Leave a glass out. What's the big deal?
Because he's the one that leaves the mess there.
You like clean
all day long, and then he like leaves all this crap out, and then he gets, you know, upset that you're trying to clean the house again.
I'm sensing this isn't just a theoretical question. You know what this is like? This is like the guy insisting that you go wax the car because he likes it to be shiny.
Well, he could just go wax it himself.
Did you hear that? This is Jason in Portland. What's up?
I agree with you totally, Rick. It's the standard thing. Every woman I ever lived with, you know, not once has she complained about the tidiness of the garage. That's my place to bitch about. The house, her standard. She bitches about the house.
Well, make your mess in the garage, not in the house. Then everything will be fine.
Yeah, well, see, but the garage ends up being the place where you can't find it where it goes in the house, ends up in the garage.
Right,
yeah,
see,
that's true.
See, but I'm the person who
because
cares.
You don't care about my garage, and I don't really care about the inside of the house.
Exactly.
But you live in the house, we don't live in the garage.
Well, no, but that's not the point. The point is everybody takes care. Like, the car, again, is a good example. Everybody has to use the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you should be responsible for waxing the car half the time if the guy wants it that way.
Well, we each have our own cars, so we each take care of our own cars.
No, please, you're evading
the
issue.
I think we should have our own houses right next to each other. You know,
live in the cabana shack out back.
Exactly, because then we wouldn't have to pick up after you.
Jesus, you take care of your car as well as he takes care of his?
Oh, absolutely not.
Then you have no place to complain.
About what?
Well, you know, it's the car, you should obviously keep the car in the same condition
as
that he keeps his, right?
Well, I have to keep up the darn house, you know? If I didn't have to clean the house all the time, I wouldn't have to clean my car.
You
so
don't
make, have time make to clean
a,
my car.
Make a trade-off. He'll take care of your car, you take care of the house, call it a day.
And you don't have to clean the house. You choose to clean the house because you're the one who has a certain level of cleanliness you want today.
Okay, and when you have your parents or your friends come over, you don't care if there's dirty, skid-marked underwear
hanging
around?
Those are exceptions when there are special guests over. But as a general rule, you know, it doesn't matter to me whether the house is tidy or not. If it really matters to you, then you should do it yourself.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's going to ruin the relationship.
All right. This is Kat in Portland. What's up with you?
Well, Rick, you just took the words right out of my mouth because my husband, we've been married 13 years, and this is what he says, and it's absolutely true. We have different levels of acceptable levels of grodiness. So if it's really bugging you that much, then honey, take care of it is his point. And I have to say I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, but geez, you know, like my husband cooks and he leaves all this stuff out. And if I didn't go out and clean it up, our house would have mold everywhere. I mean, the dogs would be getting into it and it would just...
You know what this is like? You know what this is like? This is like when I was growing up and I wouldn't clean my room. And my mom had this new rule, she said. She's like, if you don't clean your room, I'm not going to come in and pick up your clothes and do laundry. Like, if your room is disgusting, I'm not going to come in and clean out your laundry hamper and wash your clothing. And I was like, well, all right. And so it was fine. You know, I'm like a 14-year-old guy. I don't care. So I'm just like wearing the same jeans, same nasty ass, like Led Zeppelin shirt over and over again. And sure enough, after like a week, she couldn't stand to see me wearing dirty clothes and broke down and came in and started cleaning the room. And
yeah.
That's exactly the way it ought to be.
I guess we have to break down, but no, I'm not for it.
All right, there's Jolie with another edition of How Chicks Think. There you go. On Hillsboro, it's Mick. What's up?
Hey, can you just hear the angst in her voice?
Well, you can totally tell that's not a theoretical question either.
This is an age-old problem. This is why we should never get married.
Some personal relevance there. No, I totally, you know what, she's totally right about the man and woman having houses next door to each other. There ought to be, like, the house the woman lives in, and then the house the guy lives in, and then some sort of a commons area.
I agree. That place where the sex occurs, and that's it.
And that's exactly what it is. You had a bedroom. Not even a bedroom, just the sex room. You know, you have your own separate bedrooms where your ass can snore all you want. You don't have to pick up your underwear off the floor. There'll just be some futon in the middle of the house.
Would put divorce attorneys out of business.
Yeah, just overlapping circles. All right, there you go. There's Mick and Hillsboro. I mean, it'd be like men making women go mow the lawn. You know, there's a reason that the guys are the ones who always end up taking care of the lawn and re-shingling the house with the tool shed out back. It's because guys are the ones who care about it. And it totally is.